I was more nervous doing the children's sermon this morning than I am standing up here and doing the regular sermon. That's pretty intense being with those little guys. It was fun. It was good. It was a good time. So as I prepare to talk to you all, my life is going to change dramatically. Some of you know, some of you may not know. My daughter turns 16 tomorrow. And so I'm wondering, if my hair is going to stay the same color, teaching, driving. Yeah. No, I'm in trouble, Dave. Yeah, that's it. So it'll be interesting walking through that stage. And so I can talk about her because she's not here. So I'm always in trouble if she's here. I'm not allowed to say anything to her. Yeah, live stream. Well, that's if they're watching at home. They're going to be coming later. So, well, again, hey, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you. Some of you at some point may have bought a house, purchased a house. And, the process of buying a house is a long, drawn-out ordeal in many cases with a lot of hoops to jump through. Form after form after form to sign and certifications to secure. One of the things that most banks require and a lot of potential homeowners do regardless is that they have a home inspection. They have a home inspection done by a professional home inspector. And the reason for a home inspection is simple, right? That a house may look good on the outside, but sometimes there are those flaws that can only be seen from the inside, right? Where you have somebody who knows what they're doing, knows what they're looking at, and those things will come to light under closer examination. Some of those flaws may not be a big deal, while others can be a major or significant issue. So a wise person chooses a good home inspector and pays attention to what the home inspector says, right? If the home inspector says, this needs to be fixed, it would be a good idea for you to have that issue fixed. In our passage this morning, Jesus is drawing an analogy between houses and our lives. And he reminds us that whether you are talking about a house or your life, taking a superficial look is not enough. That the most important things are those that are only seen with closer inspection. And so Jesus uses this analogy of two men who were building houses to illustrate his point. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come and though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my words, hears my teachings and doesn't obey it is foolish. Just like a person who builds a house on the sand. When the rains and the floods and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And so Jesus in this illustration is asking us to imagine two houses that are built identical in every way except for one. Right? The ground upon which they're built. One is built upon the bedrock, and the other one is built upon sand. This would have been an analogy that the people of this time, as it was being written, would have understood it just like we understand it. Right? In this area of the world, there were many places that had a very fine, sandy soil. And during the dry season, right, the ground would become hard-packed, it would become baked and very hard. Hard enough where it would seem like it would be okay to simply build a house directly on the soil, assuming that that soil would be strong enough to carry and to support the structure. The problem came, however, when the rainy season came. in that soil which seemed to be so hard-packed would suddenly soften. And that sandy soil would get wet, the ground would shift, it would become weak, and a strong storm that came would have the potential to tear down even the strongest of homes. Now, it would be a lot easier, right, to build that house directly on that soil. It wouldn't take nearly as much time and nearly as much effort. But most people understood that it was a wiser approach to dig down into the sand, sometimes as much as 8 to 10 feet down until you hit rock. Kind of like building a house in western Pennsylvania, right? You do not build it above the frost level. You dig your footer down until you get below the frost level. You get that footer poured and constructed. If you're down Florida, where my in-laws used to live, you just put a slab right on the ground. No big deal. You didn't have those issues. But, you know, once you got down to the rock, once you have a firm place to build on, right, you use that bedrock as your foundation. And a house built in that fashion would be far sturdier than one built on sandy soil. Jesus tells us that what we base our lives is important because it determines what the rest of our lives will be like. And he uses this analogy of the foolish man's house collapsing when the winds came up and the rains came down, the floods raged. Because this is when the quality of the foundation was revealed. As it is for a building, so it is in life. Right? No matter what your belief system is, it is easy to live your life when things are going well. Right? When life isn't that much of a test. The test comes, however, in the invariable storms of life. It's not if, it's when. And that's when the quality of the foundation is revealed. The person who has based their life upon Christ is able to stand firm in the midst of the storms of life. The person whose faith is in something else crumbles under the pressure. You know, the foundation on which you build is important. For if we build our lives on any other foundation than the Lord, we will discover that foundation will crumble under pressure. But if we base our lives on God and God's word, we will be able to withstand the storm and stand firm. Because we know that he is in control. And Jesus' illustration is really meant to be a wake-up call. And it should challenge us to take a closer look at our lives to see what our foundation really is. Because it's not enough simply to look on the outside. It's not enough to look at our outward experiences or our outward appearance, but we have to dig deeper. Jesus says that we can know what kind of foundation we are building on when we compare it to his word. He says that the person who is building upon the rock is the person who not only hears the words of God, but also puts them into practice. Commentator William Barclay has a great analogy on this, and he says, "There's little point in consulting a doctor about our health issues unless we are prepared to act upon what we are told. There is little point in going to an expert unless we are prepared to act upon the advice given to us." And yet, he continues, "and yet there are thousands of people who listen to the teachings of Jesus Christ every Sunday and who have a very good knowledge of what Jesus taught and who yet make little or no deliberate attempt to put those words into practice." And Barclay's echoing Jesus' statement and sentiment here. He's saying if you're going to ignore the words of your doctor, it's basically a waste of time to go to the doctor. Similarly, there is little to be gained sitting under the teaching of God's word if we don't actually seek to apply it to our lives. We need to take a careful look at our lives to see whether we are simply listening to God's word or whether we are doing God's word. So a question we might ask ourselves, is whether we are even listening to the word, right? If we want to build our lives upon the right foundation, if we want to build our lives on the right foundation, we consult the blueprint. And do you make it a point to regularly read the Bible for yourself? Or is the Bible simply something that sits on that table or shelf only to be pulled out on special occasions? Do we make corporate worship a priority? Is sitting under the teaching of God's word and being in fellowship with God's people important enough to you that it merits a top place in your schedule? Or does it lose out when something more important comes up? You know, if those statements describe you, describe any of us, then right, the correct response for us is to turn to the Lord and seek his guidance, rather than simply drifting off hoping that our lives are in good shape. Submit your life to the only one who can save you, the only one on which you can build your life. And so, you know, this parable, this story that Jesus tells, we teach it to our children from the earliest of ages, but for us, it is a wake-up call. And Jesus is saying the foundation upon which you build is important. That there are far too many people building on the wrong foundation or are simply drifting along without any thought to what their foundation actually is. Again, Jesus tells us that if the foundation upon which we build is faulty, then we don't stand a chance in this life. Because what Jesus tells us is extremely important and should have an important impact upon our lives and the way that we live each and every day. Right, our only hope is to trust wholeheartedly in Jesus Christ, to submit our lives to him and to follow him. When you look at the final words in this passage from John chapter 7, John 7, 28 through 29, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. So all the people who heard Jesus speaking were amazed at what he was saying. Because the religious leaders of this day didn't talk like this. They didn't dare teach like Jesus taught. The religious leaders had to support their positions by quoting Jewish traditions, but Jesus didn't look merely at the traditions. Jesus spoke as the authoritative one who created the word. He didn't need to appeal to a higher authority to give credibility to his words. He was the authority. You know, something else as I read these final words, these concluding words that struck me. What struck me was that Matthew didn't say that when the crowds heard Jesus' teachings, that they were amazed when they heard Jesus' teaching. But what he doesn't say is that they did something about it. He doesn't say that they started following Jesus' teaching. It simply says they were amazed. Right? They were impressed. They oohed, ahed at what Jesus was saying. But I don't think it went any further than that. Now, church, this is the danger in being a hearer only. Right? It is possible for us to see the value in Jesus' teaching as immensely practical and important to our lives and our world today. But if we are simply amazed by Jesus' teaching, then we are wasting our time. Hey, look at your life. Look at what your life reveals. Does it reveal a person who is seeking after the things of God, or does it reveal a heart that is divided? What foundation is your life built on? Is it built upon a foundation that can withstand the storms of life, or are you building a house of cards that will ultimately come and crumble? Jesus has shown us the path to eternal life, right? The path to eternal life is found in Jesus himself. And the question we must answer for ourselves is again, who is it that we trust? Are we going to choose to trust our own judgment, the judgment of the media that we consume, the judgment of our family or friends? Or will we choose to trust in the judgment of the one who speaks with authority? Will you simply be amazed at what Jesus said, or will you allow the words of Jesus to change your life, to change the way that you think, the way that you act, the way that you walk through this life? Because the answer to that question changes everything. It determines everything. It determines, right, it says which foundation you are building upon, whether you are building upon the rock or whether you are building upon the sandy soil. You know, when you come and purchase a home, you know better than to make a decision based upon looks alone. Right, as beautiful as a house may be, you know you've got to dig in a little bit and see what the foundation is. Our lives are no different. Right, we can look good on the outside, but what really matters is what we are building our lives upon. What we are choosing to build our lives upon. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we come to you this morning as the family of God, Lord. We recognize that your word is that double-edged sword. Lord, your word is used to pierce and to show truth. And so this morning, Lord, I mean, for myself, I pray this, and I pray this for my church family, that we would investigate our foundations, what we're standing upon. Are we standing upon the rock of Jesus, or are we standing on something else? Jesus, we pray that when we encounter your word, we simply wouldn't hear it. But because we believe your word is holy, Jesus, that whenever we come in contact with it, we would become different. Our lives would become different. Our foundations would become firmer because of it. Jesus, help us in this. Guide us in this. It's in your name, O Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. I started working for my uncle, who was a general contractor who built homes up in Erie. I started working for him when I was 14 years old. When I was 14 years old, we were doing a very expensive house on a piece of land that overlooked the Bay of Erie. So it was a pretty exclusive neighborhood, large house, had a 6-car garage. As they were digging the footer for the 6-car garage, we ran into another footer that they had dug for the 6-car garage that wasn't where the guy wanted it. And so they had to dig another one. We had the 6-car garage framed. We were getting ready to put the trusses up. And this gentleman came and he looked at where it was at. He said, "I don't like it. Move it back 1.5 feet. 1.5 feet. And church, it doesn't matter what your foundation is if you don't know what you stand for, right? That foundation was probably a very strong, good foundation that garage was built on. But this gentleman continued to change his mind over and over and over again. So maybe this is an excerpt from the scripture passage. You know your foundation, choose your foundation, go with your foundation. build your life on something that is strong, something that will last, something that you can build on for generations to come. Gracious God, we are grateful for your word for us today. We are grateful, Lord, for the opportunity for us as a church family to come together to worship, to celebrate your word. Jesus, we pray that as we hear your word, as we sing your word, that as we come in contact with your word, Jesus, we would become different. That when we disagree with what you are saying, God, we would recognize that we are the ones who are wrong. Help us align ourselves to you and your word so that our foundation would be firm. And not just so that our foundation can be firm, but so that the world would come and recognize what a firm foundation looks like. So that when they are experiencing, Jesus, the storms of life, they would know where to run to. So again, dear God, we pray that you would use us. Use us as you see fit. May we glorify you in all that we do. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen.